Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
DWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind of it?
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file,
Senator. Ares 31, me neither.
There are 71 Papa Golf, good.
And was anybody at above us to pass us like 30 seconds ago?
There are 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Something. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's emergency 1095. Yeah, something just passed over us. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. So yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911. You guys busy?
Yeah.
We just called about some UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. Same airplanes.
At a dispatch.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. If you are a fan of the show and would like to sign up as a patron to help support the show, head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles podcast, or you can click the link below in the description. Welcome to the show, everyone. I am your host, Nick Hunter, and we got a great show lined up for you tonight. We have two guests on this episode, both with interesting encounters. The first is Steve, and his sighting took place in Tilsley in Manchester in September 2009 while he was attending a family event. And then we're going to be going over the pond to California to talk to Jay about his sighting of a large craft he witnessed in 1978 when he was 15. Our guest today is Steve, and Steve comes to us from Manchester. His sighting occurred back in 2009. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Hi, Nick. Pleasure to be on.
Thanks for coming on today, man. Can you set the scene for our audience and just walk us into exactly what happened and what you experienced?
Yeah, sure. So, like, it's Saturday afternoon. I was at work, basically, and my parents phoned me up reminding me that I was going to, well, they wanted me to go to, like, a family gathering because it was one of my family members' 21st. So basically, the day went on, got to 7 o'clock, finished work, drove home, had a shower, got changed, this, that, and the other. Went down to my relative's home. Basically, had something to eat, this, that, and the other. It got to about 10-ish. Basically, talking outside with my relatives, this, that, and the other. The time was getting dragging on a little bit, and I decided to put at the side of the house, you have like a driveway. And the driveway sort of overlooks like a fields, which probably goes on for about 2 or 3 miles, you know, various like sheep in, you know, and you've got like cornfield and things like that. So I decided to go around and have a cigarette. My father followed me around and he was sort of stood in front of me. And at the side of me, there was 4 or 5 individuals also smoking a cigarette. As we stood there, I was looking out over the cornfield, which is kind of like lower than the actual where the position that was stood. And I looked off, and to the right hand side of me, over in one of the fields, I noticed a little. At first, it was a little light. It was like a little white pulsing light. So I'm sort of looking. So my father's sort of talking to me, and I'm looking out over this field, and this light, it starts getting a bit bigger and like pulsing a bit more, and it was like white at first, and then as it was like pulsing out, it was going a bit blue. And I looked at it at first, and I thought, oh, it's got to be an helicopter, you know, it's probably somebody done something or committed a crime or anything, they've gone off into the field, maybe stole a car or something like that, they're going to burn it out, so the police are following them. As I'm looking over at that, looking over again, I noticed that the object or the light or whatever it was basically low down in the field. It wasn't high up in the sky. It was sort of low down, probably about, I'd say, 60 to 70 foot above the actual, you know, the actual field. So, and I couldn't hear any helicopter noises, any blades, anything like that. I couldn't see any flashing tail lights, anything. It was just this white light, which would start pulsing, basically, was going to like a blue light and then back to sort of a white light. And it got brighter and brighter and brighter and then pulsed out to like a bluish color, bluish tinge to it towards the end, and it got really, really bright. And then within the blink of an eye, it sort of moved from one field, which, and then sort of went across into another part of a different field, but it was still at the same eye. And I always remember because my dad was talking to me and I was like, I was just transfixed with what I was seeing because I was like, you know, what is that? It can't be an helicopter. Like I said, there's no flashing lights, this and the other. So I was looking and looking at it, and it was doing the same thing again. And it was there probably for about a minute or so, and it was doing this pulsing light sort of thing, really bright, and then sort of fading out and going to this like bluish sort of color, and then back again to like a, you know, not as bright, but then really bright. And it was doing this, like I said, for about a minute. And then all of a sudden, it just totally went. And moved. And at the bottom of the path where it goes down, there's a football field where my auntie's sort of drive sort of thing is. And you're looking down over that, and there's like a yellow sort of chipping path that goes down. Right at the bottom of there, it comes to like a junction with other paths, and there's a brook that runs on the right-hand side parallel to the field. At the bottom of there, there's a man-made waterfall. And there was some tree, there's about four or five trees sort of to the right hand side of it, just before you get up to the waterfall. Now the object, it moved, and it was about probably, I'd say about 70 foot above where the waterfall is. And it did this massive, great big white pulse of light, but this light sort of stayed there. And it was like, it just stayed white, and then it pulsed again and sort of went down into like a smaller light, and then it went blue. And then white again, and then pulsed out again. But this time it was like, instead of being like a ball shape or something like, it went out sort of longer shape. And then it went back into like a ball shape. And then all of a sudden it went blue and then disappeared. And I'm stood there looking at it. Now, there's still people beside me, and they're still talking. They're having a conversation. And I can't remember what conversation, but it was in full swing conversation. My dad was talking to me, but he wasn't looking at me. And I was looking over at where this, down where the path is at the end of the cornfield, where this man-made waterfall thing is. And I was looking at it, and I could see, all I could see was like a dark silhouette. And I'm looking at this thing, and I'm thinking, you know, what is that? You know, and you, human, you're looking at things, you're staring at it, and you're trying to see. And it was a clear night, and it had been a warm day, but it was quite cool. So, the sky was clear. There was no cloud or anything like that. So you could see this silhouette of something. And the next thing I knew, I was looking at it, and it started coming towards us. Now, I'm sort of probably about 20, 30, maybe 20 foot elevated above the cornfield on like a platform overlooking this. And this is coming towards us. So I'd say it was 70 foot above where the actual waterfall is. So as it's coming towards me, it's getting higher and higher. But all you could see at one point, it was just like a dark object, like a disc-shaped object. And it's coming, it wasn't going fast. It was actually gradually coming towards us and coming towards us and coming towards us. And probably about two-thirds of the way over the cornfield, the underside of it lit up. And there was four, like, light sources from underneath it, like strips. And in the centre, there was a dull light source. The light sources on the strips, I can only best describe that if anybody's seen, like, in an office building or anywhere like that where they have a suspended ceiling, they have strip lights underneath it. And it has that, like, frosted, like, paneling on it, and it keeps the light very dull. The panel lights were like that, but under it, these four like areas where it was lit. So at that point, it's coming further, it's coming more and more towards us. But there was no noise or anything. There was no wind. There was nothing. It was to perfectly still night. And at that point, then it was right over the top of us. And I would say it was probably anything up to 200 foot above us. Now, this object, it was dish-shaped. The actual, like I described, the light panelling, it was like the light panelling from like a suspended ceiling with the strip lights. It wasn't a bright light, it was dull, but it was light enough so you could just see the underside of it. And it was a very, very, very dullish, metallic-looking surface to it. But you could, the actual lighting was, it's clear as day, and you could make out the edge of it, and I would say in diameter is probably 52 to 53 foot in diameter. This was above us, and I was like, and I mean, I've read Jenny Randall's books, and she mentions about Oz Factor, and when you're underneath something like that, it's like what could probably be 10 to 30 seconds seems like about 4 or 5 minutes, and it was over the top of us. And it just rested there. And I always remember I was looking up at it. And it was like a really weird feeling of like a stillness and like sort of a peaceful sort of feeling. And like a bit of, not euphoria, but something like that. And at that point, people at the side of me, they were also viewing this, because one of the girls said, "What the hell is that?" And this lad said, "I don't know what it is." And she said, "What is that?" And at that point, from something probably 200 foot above us, probably 52 to 53 foot in diameter, with, dull metallic thing to it, and these, very dull, like, light panelings, shot up at a really, really fast rate. And, I mean, it went from something that big to something, like, the size of a needle point and just completely disappeared. And it was amazing to see. I'm skeptical about all this stuff for years, but when that was one thing I'll never forget in my life. And when it went, I didn't think anything about it. I just thought of Luke, sort of smiled to myself, looked at the people at the side of me. They sort of looked at me, looked at my dad. He didn't even see it. And father, he was too busy. I don't know. He was talking to somebody else, but he didn't see it. So I just stood there for about a couple of minutes, sort of smiled to myself, like walked around into the garden at the front, and I sat down on the step, and I was like, have I just seen what I've just seen? And I just shook my head and basically carried on with the rest of the evening. And at that point, I didn't think anything more about it. It was just one of them. It was just one moment in time, I'd say, really. It was quite an amazing sight to see. It was amazing, mate. like I said, it's just one of them things you'd never expect to see something like that in your life, and some people do.
And your father never saw it?
No, I asked my father about it. I asked him, did he see anything? And he said, no, I didn't see anything. I was too busy. I was talking to you, but he was looking at something and he was transfixed with something. And then at that point, I lost interest and started talking to somebody else. He was like, he said they were stood side onto him. Now, at that point, I couldn't see that because I was too busy, obviously. The last thing I saw before it came across was I looked across and my dad was stood in front of it. Now, they were still at the side of me, these people. And I never asked them. I never asked them on that night, did they see it? Because I just thought it was one of their moments of like, did I really see that? Was it a moment of like having some kind of mini breakdown or something like, oh, you know, some kind of something had gone, I don't know. But yeah, it's just to this day I've asked him about it and he said I didn't see anything. You know, he's very sceptical about it. He says, I understand the, you know, the way you feel about things and the way that how you feel about what you saw. But he said, to this day, I'm still sceptical. Until I see one myself, that's it. You know what I mean?
It's a shame he wasn't looking up.
I've said that to him. I've said to him, you know, all you needed to do is just look up. It was above your head. It was hovering there above your head. Why didn't you just look up? Everybody else was looking up. I know I was definitely looking up. And I know the people next to me was looking up because of the reaction that they had to it. The interesting thing is with it, Nick, as well, is that after the event, I didn't really think anything much about it. Never crossed my mind or anything like that. It was only probably a couple of weeks, maybe a month or so. I was woke up one morning, I was lying in bed, and then sort of I had some kind of like flashback of it. And it was like somebody playing a videotape in your head. It was like a rerun of it all again. And at that point, I thought, well, you know, I'm pretty much of the same mind. I'm a down-to-earth guy, you know. But obviously, there was people there stood beside me. So I got in touch with a family member about it, inquiring about it. I don't think she didn't actually see it. It was five friends of hers who actually saw it. And I asked her, would she make inquiries on my behalf about, you know, to her friends, did they see it? Sent her quite a long bit of an email about it, saying this is what I've seen, this and the other, and, you know, I'm not stir crazy. I definitely saw this thing. I had a bit of correspondence for about 2 weeks or so, and then I got an email back off her saying basically they didn't see anything and they don't want to talk about it. Now, I'm not going to disclose what professions they were at, but they have pretty good jobs, quite high up jobs, you know what I mean? And they didn't want to talk about it, basically, and don't email her again on that matter.
Generally, when people say, we didn't see anything, we don't want to talk about it, that means they did see something, but they don't want to talk about it.
I know for a fact they did see something because, like I said, they were stood beside me, and whilst it was over our head, and it was, like, positioned above us, I heard two of them say, what the hell is that? And then one of the lads said, I don't know what it is. And the other one said, what the hell is that? And then, like I said, 53 foot in diameter, straight up, click of a finger like that, needle point, gone. You know, so somebody did see something, but they don't want to talk about it. And I can understand that. I mean, you see where, like, you know, airline pilots, people in professional jobs, they don't want to talk about this. They don't want to talk about it because obviously they feel ridiculed and potentially losing the job, this, that, and the other. And that's understandable, but, you know, I definitely know that they saw something that night.
And did you report your sighting?
I didn't report it at first. I was kind of in sort of like a way of like, it was a bit of denial with it at first, within myself, really. I mean, like I said to you, I woke up that day in bed and it was like it all flashed back. And still to this day, I see it now and it's still like, you know, somebody's put a DVD on in my brain and you can replay it. It's as clear as day. But it's only when I started looking into it myself, because I'm very sceptical about it before I had that sighting. You know, I was like, you know, maybe, maybe not. I've always been a big fan of like Carl Sagan when stuff happened as a kid. And it was only probably a couple of years, maybe 2 years later, I thought, I've got to talk about this because it was inside. It was like eating away at me, you know what I mean? It was something that I needed to get out. I just felt inside that I needed to talk to somebody about it. So then I actually reported my sight interview for it.
What do you think you saw that night, Steve?
To be honest with you, Nick, I really don't know. Like I said in the report, I work under the Liverpool John Lennon flight paths. I live under the Manchester Ringway flight paths. You know, I spend a lot of time at night walking my dog when I get home from work and in the fields and stuff. I've always been interested in astronomy and things like that. I've had bits of interest with like military aircraft and things, you know, just general things you see and news clippings you see about certain things like stealth bombers and stuff like that. But when I saw that night, the way that object was above us and went up, like literally with a click of a finger, from, like I said, something in the diameter of 52 to 53 foot, to something like within a split second up to a needle point and then shoot off. I don't think we've got anything like that. I don't know whether it is something we've got or whether it's, I don't know, could be extraterrestrial, interdimensional or something like that. I don't know, but I've never seen anything like that, you know, and it was an amazing thing to see, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it was, but I can say basically I know what I saw. I saw it. I saw the way it moved. I saw the underside of it, sort of dull metallic underside of it, with, like I said, with the light paneling, things like that. And I certainly did see it go over above us from 52, 53 foot, like click of a finger, straight up, needle point, gone.
And you know what it isn't?
I'd like to think that we're not alone in the universe. I believe that we aren't. And I believe that this sort of thing's been going on since, you know, 1947, maybe before that. And but only because what I saw that evening has sort of encouraged me to like go out, research, look at things, keep an open mind on things and still be skeptical about like ufology in a whole, you know what I mean? I'm not saying that I saw an alien ship. I'm not saying, I don't know what it was, but it was fascinating and it was very interesting what I saw.
Certainly amazing what you did see.
It was amazing. And still to this day, like I said, I can see it clear as day in my head. And every other day or so, I'll think about it and I think, you know, I definitely did. I know what I saw on that evening.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I definitely know what I saw. And it's, you know, it's not something what my imagination's playing tricks on me. And I definitely saw that. You know what I mean?
Well, you weren't the only one.
Yeah, that's the point exactly. And like I said, why was I sort of like staring at this thing, and you got this, like I said, about Jenny Randall's Oz Factor sort of thing, which she writes about. While this is going on, at the side of me, I could hear these people at the side of me commenting on it. So at that moment, when I think about it in my mind, I can still hear them saying, what the hell's that? I don't know. What the hell is that? So it's, you know, I'm not imagining it or anything like that. And like I said to you, I had correspondence with the family member about it. Emails were wrote this and the other. I don't have them now, sort of thing. But like I said, it was a few years ago. And after that, I don't really speak to her anymore and things like that. But they didn't want to talk about it. And that's understandable. Like I said, they have pretty good jobs. They're in a pretty good high position. And, you know, but they was there. They did witness it because I did hear them say, don't comment on it. You know what I mean? Yeah, basically, that's what I saw that evening. That's, you know, I've reported it. Like I said, there was other people seeing it. And basically, that's my story, and that's what I saw. Some people ask me about it, and some people don't. And there's only certain people I'll tell sort of at work and things about. People ask me, and I'm not bothered about that. But I want to talk. I got to a point now, Nick, where I wanted to talk about it. You know, because there's people out there that have experiences like of having experiences or had them. And probably they don't want to talk about it, or they feel that they can't come out and talk about it. You know what I mean?
So that's why this podcast is important.
And it's important that people do, because like I said, it does have an effect on you as a person. one way or the other. You know, and like we discussed before, it's so much going on. We don't understand, and things like you said about like weird things happen.
Yeah.
Really get out and talk about it. And the more people come out, the more the case we've got for disclosure, aren't we, really?
That's right, yeah. I mean, it's therapeutic for a lot of people as well.
It is. I mean, it's coming on your show tonight and talking about it. I was a bit nervous about talking and that, because I've never talked on a podcast or anything before, you know. But I feel better now. You know, I feel like I have got a bit of a weight off my shoulders as well, even though I've discussed it like with my friend, close friends and girlfriend and things like that, and my parents. I feel a bit better now that I've actually, people are going to hear what I've got to say on it.
I'd like to welcome Jay to the show. And Jay comes to us from Berkeley in California. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Well, thank you very much, Nick. It's nice to be with you.
I appreciate you coming on today.
It was a scary, very scary thinking about actually doing this, because it's very difficult to come out with stuff like this. And I'm happy to do it. I'm more comfortable with you because this is what you do. And I'm glad to talk with somebody that is picking up all these stories and broadcasting them to everybody else to make them feel a little more comfortable.
If you want to start off from the very beginning and then just work your way through.
Well, my name is Jay DeMello, and I'd like to share my UFO experience. And it started out when I was 15 years old. This was before I even realized that there was UFOs. I had no idea, wasn't ready for them. It just happened to me. And what happened to me was my neighbor and I were having a sleepover in his backyard, right next to my backyard. We both lived in corner lots. Our backyards were very large, very large. We both had swimming pools in our backyard. My neighbor, which the yard I slept in, had a putting green. My house, we had a pool, a bar in the backyard, very large backyards. And we had dressing rooms and all that, and they were large. And the house behind our two houses was, it took up the length of both backyards. So we were all kind of bunched in this corner lot, and they were really big. So I was sleeping in a lounge chair with John. He was also 15, maybe 16, and we were in lounge chairs with sleeping bags, sleeping next to the putting green. John just kind of dozed off, and I don't know exactly what time it was. I'd say 12:30, around that time. And he was sleeping, and I was just staring at the stars, because it takes me a long time to sleep. And we were right next to the hills, right next to the main road in Fremont. And I'm looking down the hill line, and I see what looks like a pyramid of lights. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. There's jet fighters flying in a pattern coming right over, right towards us. And I thought, this is really cool. So I just had my eyes peeled on this. So I'm thinking, okay, here they come. Here they come. And here they come. And they were going so slow, I just couldn't fathom how fighter jets can go that slow. And I'm watching them and watching them. All of a sudden, the bottom two lights of the pyramid went out, and I was just in shock. It's like, where did those pilots go? That's really strange. I didn't see them leave. They just disappeared. So now we have a top light. Under that, we have two lights, and under those, we have two more lights in a pyramid. So I'm watching this thing and realizing that this is going very slow, and the next two lights up went out also. And at that point, I was completely dumbfounded. I couldn't figure out what was going on. So it was getting so close, it must have been maybe five houses away from us. The last light disappeared. It was gone. And at that point, I realized that all I saw was a black circle that was blocking out all the stars. And I don't really remember what I was thinking at this point, but I was staring at the thing, blocking out the stars, and it came to my backyard, which was right next door to the backyard I was in, and then it came directly over us. And I realized I saw a green light on one side of the circle, orange light on one side of the circle and a white light on the other side of the circle on the between the two lights. And I just was in awe. I was staring at this thing, and it came over really slow right above our three backyards. It took up the size of the whole three backyards, this big round circle thing. And I'm staring at it, and, you know, when it was about 2 yards over, I want to add this in, I was screaming at John to wake up. He was next to me. I said, John, John, John. And he wouldn't wake up. And when this thing got halfway over the backyard that I was in, I hit him with my hand, and I was screaming, John, John. And he wouldn't move. He was sleeping so hard, I figured. And by the time this thing covered the three backyards, it was directly over me. I was just, I didn't know what to say. I don't know if I was dribbling or shaking or what, but I went under. I heard the thing, the engines go off. It completely shut down, and it was hovering directly above us, probably 60 to 80 feet above us. And it was just sitting there. And at that point, I went under my sleeping bag. I was shaking like a leaf in a windstorm. I was so scared. I didn't know what to do. I threw the sleeping bag over my head, and I was just shaking like I was having a panic attack. And I waited, I don't know, maybe 10, 20 seconds, and I peeked out. And the first thing I looked at was this solid white beam going into the swimming pool, coming from one of the sides of this circle. And it was going directly into the swimming pool. It was like a fluorescent light, like the gas lights. And I couldn't see through it, but it was really bright. And another thing I just realized recently was it wasn't lighting up the backyard. This light and this beam was just by itself. It made no reflection on anything else in the backyard, the fences or windows or anything. When I saw this light beam, I looked about how wide it is when it was hitting the swimming pool, and it had to have been 6 to 8 feet, and it was in the water. And I followed it up, and it got like a pyramid. It got smaller and smaller and smaller. And when it got to the craft, it was just a little pin light coming out of the craft. And at that point, I looked up to the side of it, and I saw like a rectangle box that was inset into the bottom of this big circular round thing. And inside that, it had what looked like a retractable landing gear or something. It was a long pipe, and then coming out of that was a smaller long pipe, and it was tucked up in this little container. I just couldn't believe it. I just could not handle this, and I went under again. I put the sleeping bag over my head, and I was just shaking like I was almost ready to vomit. I just was completely out of control. All of a sudden, I heard this thing start back up, and it started with a low rush, and then it went back up to the sound of a jet engine. And I realized, okay, this thing's taken off. I stayed under the sleeping bag for another 10, 20, 30 seconds, and I heard it moving over us. And when I looked again, it was about over in the next two backyards. It was going really slow and going right down the hill line. At that point, I turned around and tried to get up on my knees, my hands and knees on the sleeping apparatus I was on. And I was shaking so hard, I must have fell a couple times. It was difficult to even get on my hands and knees. And I'm watching this thing fly away, shaking just immensely. When it got probably a mile away, I heard a Volkswagen pull up, and I knew that was my sister's Volkswagen. And she pulled up next door where I lived, and I figured I got to tell somebody what I just saw. So I tried to get out of the mattress that I was on, and I don't really remember, but I know I couldn't walk very well. I had a difficult time standing up. So what I did was I crawled. I crawled towards the swimming pool, and I grabbed the railing that goes down the stairs of the swimming pool, and I got that to try to help me stand up. And I pulled myself up and I turned around and looked at this thing again, and it was further away, but it was still going very slow. And it was following the heel line in the road, running down the heel line. After a couple minutes, I was able to actually walk without holding on to anything. And I went between we have a little gate between our two backyards, and I got to that gate, went through it, I saw the light in the house that I live in when my sister came home, and I went in and I saw her in there, and I said, Terry, I just saw something. She said, well, what? I go, I saw something in the sky. And she looked at me like she believed me. And the first thing she said, she grabbed a piece of paper and pencil, and she goes, write down what you saw. And I was shaking so hard, I couldn't even write anything. I couldn't sign my name. I couldn't do anything. And I told her, I'm scared. And I didn't write anything down. She goes, well, you need to call somebody. And I said, I can't, because if I call somebody, they're just going to think I'm some kind of crazy person. I don't know. I sat there and she held me for a while, and it was getting to 12:31, and she wanted to go to sleep, and she said, are you okay? And I said, yeah. So I felt better. I wasn't shaking that much. So I went back outside. I went through the gates, and I went over to where I was sleeping, and my friend was still sleeping. I laid back down, and I felt better, but I was trying to figure out what I just saw. I kind of figured that was a UFO. Or was it a UFO? I don't know. I'd never known any kind of plane that we have be able to stop and hover with no sound. It was scary. So I laid there until the sun started coming back up. It started getting bright out. And I heard a little rumbling in the house or the back, you know, where I was, of my neighbors where I was in their backyard. And I went up to their back door and I said, hello, I need to talk with you. I saw something. He said, well, what'd you see? And I said, well, I think I saw a flying saucer. And they looked at me like I did something bad, but they were accepting it. So I had this tight lip kind of smile, and they said, well, Jay, they said, you know, we have lights around the backyard by the swimming pool, different colored lights. And they said, you were probably half asleep staring at the lights and you didn't see anything. And at that point, I realized that what I sounded like an idiot to them because they didn't see it. So I just dealt with that and said, okay, yeah, it wasn't the lights, but I'll just stop the conversation here. And I went back and laid down and talked to John about it. And he just looked at me and kind of giggled, and he just kind of went on his way. And so I think the only person that halfway believed me was my sister, but John and John's family had no clue what I was talking about and just tried to put it off, and it really hurt. So I realized that if I tell anybody the story, that's what's going to happen to me. They're going to look at me like I'm a complete fool and that I'm just making up the story. So I've kept it quiet all these years. You know, I've talked to other people semi-recently, you know, a couple years ago when this whole UFO thing started coming out, and they seemed interested. So I've told maybe two, three, maybe four people at the most what I went through, and they, you know, I didn't even get through the whole story. Said, yeah, well, this is what happened to me. And, you know, I feel like what I seen was, yeah, okay, yeah, look, guess what happened to me? You know, so I didn't get the what I expected out of it, but I'm fine with that. And I think the more this comes out, you know, what really got me was the fact that I've been following this stuff for a long time now. And I have this feeling that, you know, the downed crashes that are being reported, and that we do have alien vessel technology and they are studying it. I have a feeling that they have mastered the actual anti-gravity part of it, but they haven't actually mastered the propulsion part of it. So I was starting to compare that to what I saw and what I heard. And what I heard was jet engines. And I don't think that would happen on a UFO. You wouldn't hear jet engines fire up and it would take off. So I'm putting it together was, this is our government. It's a good chance this is our government that got this technology but hasn't manufactured the actual thrust or the way they get around. So they may have put jet engines on something that they learned how to hover. So that's my theory. And I hope other people understand that. I think more people are starting to feel free to come out, which is a really good thing. Our government has now released videos of this stuff, of our F-18s chasing them and flying them. So I feel more comfortable about telling people about what happened to me now. I also had a second one. And the second one, it was when I was living in San Leandro, California. I was had an apartment. I was running a handyman business. I had a day off that day, and I was up in my apartment, and I decided I got to go get some food. Well, my apartment was upstairs, and it had like a covered stairway down to the driveway. So I opened my door, I went down the stairs, and I opened another door. And when I take off somewhere, I usually look at the freeway. The freeway was probably 30 feet away from that door. There's a little pad that people can drive on right by the door, and then there was a fence, and then there were some plants and some trees kind of going uphill, and then the freeway was right there. I can see the cars. So I would always look to see how the freeway was before I took off. And this day, I went out, and I opened the door and looked, and I saw a, I don't know, it was a blimp. In my head, it was a blimp. It was long, looking just like a blimp, but it was extremely long, and I could see it through the trees. The trees were pretty close, but I could see all the cars zipping by, you know, in between the trees, and I looked at this long cylinder, and it was silver with a red stripe from the beginning to the end, and it was going very slow. And I was looking at it and going, wow, that was really cool. But then I realized it was only maybe 15 feet above the cars. And the cars were just zipping by like a regular traffic day. And I was going, this is insane, because this looks like it's going to land on the freeway and these cars are not affected. I go, I just couldn't understand why these cars are not slamming their brakes on. So instead of going left to my car, I went right because this thing was heading right of me. So I was walking slowly with it. I took maybe 5-6 steps just staring at it, and it was moving kind of with me. And just, you know, maybe 20 feet away from me, there was about 3 or 4 ladies, and they were talking to each other real close, standing up. And I looked at them, and I looked back up at the freeway, and I'm watching this thing, and I realized that these ladies are standing by a clearance of no trees. The trees ended about where those ladies were standing. So I hollered at the ladies. I said, do you see that blimp? And they looked at me, and then they looked up at the freeway where I was pointing, and then they looked at me again, and then went back to talking. And I thought, oh, okay, that they just see a blimp and they don't have any feeling of it, how low it is to the car. So, all right. So I kept walking towards them. And when I got to the opening where there was no trees blocking the freeway from where we are, it was gone. It was not there. It was something that I saw, but they didn't. I was not doing drugs. I don't do drugs. I don't drink alcohol. I was completely sober. And it was when I turned around and walked away from those ladies, I just couldn't put it together what I just saw. I just kind of shook my head and went back to my car, and I went shopping. And that's another thing that I just couldn't tell people, because you say something like that and they think, oh, okay, you were drunk, or you just got back from a party, or, and it's like, I don't want to go through that no more. You know, people are just going to think I'm a complete nut. This was about 5 years ago, I believe, in San Leandro, California. That was the complete story. The whole process maybe had been just a minute, couple minutes. And it was very difficult it was very difficult to deal with, so I just kept my mouth closed. It stayed in my head. I mean, the picture, the color of the thing, the stripe on it, everything, the ladies, it's buried in my head. So I kept that quiet. Another thing happened. I've had three total throughout my life, very spread apart, except for this last one. It was within 5 years. I moved into a two-story house, which is a room share, and there's a few people that live here. There's a deck in the backyard where we go out and smoke our cigarettes, watch the sky, and, you know, chat and everything. But I went out there by myself, lit up a cigarette, and I looked up at the sky, and I saw a tree trunk. I saw what looked like there was clouds out there, but this was further away from the clouds. And it was a tree trunk, and it had to have been really, really big. Being as far away as it was pretty good size. So I thought, this has got to be a huge balloon somebody just let up. So it's floating away. So I'm staring at this thing, and it wasn't moving. It was just stable in one position. That's why I watched so hard to see if I could see it moving, and it wasn't. And that lasted about a minute and a half, 2 minutes before the clouds kind of covered it up. And I realized that that was just a really strange sighting. And I thought, how can a tree trunk fly? I just couldn't place it in my head. So I went into my room. I started looking up flying tree trunks. And what I got was a UFO sighting, or multiple sightings of what they call the Bell UFO. And when I compared that, it compared exactly what I looked at. It was, if you can picture a tree trunk and then the bottom of it kind of flaring out, it looked like a cut off tree. And the Bell looks exactly like that. It looks like a bell with a flared out bottom. So that was my third experience. And I talked to a couple of people in the house, and I said, you should have seen what I just saw. And they said, well, why didn't you take a picture of it? And I said, well, I didn't have my phone with me, and I didn't want to run into the house to get it because I thought I would miss something. I thought I would understand more what it was, and the clouds were coming towards it, and I just didn't want to miss it. So I sat out there, and that seems to be the case with a lot of other UFO people talking about what they've seen. Well, my camera broke. I didn't get the camera, so I didn't tell a lot of people about that either. I told two people in the house, and they said, wow, you know, so they're starting to believe now because of all this disclosure coming out right now. So they believe me, and they wish I had a picture of it, and I really wish I did too. But that only lasted, the whole process lasted like a minute and a half. So that was my three UFO cases, and it really makes me wonder if I just happened to be there at the right time, or it was acknowledged that I don't know. I have no idea why I was shown them, and a lot of people are not. I don't believe myself special in any way. I don't believe myself special because I seen these. I still have the question of why did I see them? Why did they show themselves to me? Anybody listening to this right now is just going to think, oh, there's just another guy that's claiming he saw some things. It's really difficult to even bring this out. It's really hard to do this cast. But the only thing letting me do this right now is seeing what's really happening and seeing how our government is actually letting go. They're disclosing this UFO incident going on with our military and F-18. So I feel more comfortable, but even though I have shown videos of what the military let out to people that don't believe it, they just look at it and laugh and kind of walk away. And they're still non-believers. So there's so much work to get people to really understand this. And I think the only people that will 100% understand this if they see one themselves. Even though we post pictures on YouTube and Facebook and all this stuff of this live, it's meaningless to them unless they know 100% sure that that is real. And the only way they're going to find that out is to see one themselves. So I truly hope more people would follow other people that are actually seeing this and actually recording this stuff. You know, there's a lot of fakers out there. There's a lot of people with some really great software that are, they're just making the UFOs look great, look really great. Okay, I saw that. You know, I'm a believer, and it really hurts that people are doing this. I don't know why they're doing this. I don't know who is doing this. I just hope this disclosure comes out faster. The people that are ready for this information don't seem to be scared. They're willing. They want to be happy. They want to see this stuff come out. They want somebody to land on the White House lawn and say, you know, I'm from Shabbalah and I'd like to welcome you. And, you know, until that comes out, there's going to be a lot of non-believers. But the people that do believe, like I was saying, when this happens, when this truly happens, they're going to be ready for it. But the people that don't believe this stuff right now, I think I'm going to be worried about, because they may panic. And I think that's why our government is holding a lot of this back, because they're worried about the panic that's going to happen. So it's coming out really slowly. And this is what I'm trying to do too. I'm trying to find somebody that you can say UFO to and their eyes light up. So those are the people that I tell what happened to me, what I seen. And they either have a story also, or they believe me. And that's a good feeling. And I hope this happens a lot more.
There's so many people out there which have had similar experiences, but don't talk and don't tell nobody because, like you said, you know, fear of ridicule.
Exactly. And it hurts. And I really hope people will start listening to other people that have same situations. And I know that you have contacted a lot of people that have these same situations. I just can't wait to see more people and contact more people on your site, your YouTube site, and really would love to talk to more people like that. It would make me feel more comfortable about talking this, because it's pretty uncomfortable still.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I can appreciate that. But the benefits, because I get a lot of emails from people that just want to tell me the story, but not tell no one else. And then when they hear other people, then they're happy to share it, because they know that, you know, they're in the right environment.
Yeah. And it would be great. I mean, people like you is bringing these people together, and that's really comfortable. It's a lot more comfortable for people to come together like this.
I really appreciate you coming on today, Jay.
And I appreciate you doing this for me and everybody else as well.
Now you're welcome.